And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying in a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes and within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And he, the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. So Jesus is talking to this man who's sick with the palsy. And he says, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. And, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees and the people who are there are saying he's blaspheming. And they're absolutely right, except for the fact that he is the Son of Man, and that he is God in flesh. So if he wasn't who he was, he would be blaspheming. Because no man, no preacher, not even a prophet can forgive your sins. Only God can forgive your sins and say that your sins are forgiven thee. Because when we sin, it's against God. So, you know, when you wrong someone, you don't go to someone else to apologize, or you have to go to that person. So when you sin and it's against God, God has to forgive you. And when God comes in flesh, he forgives that person. He says, your sins be forgiven thee. And if it's not God speaking, it would be blasphemy. But they just didn't catch the revelation that that was God in flesh. And so they didn't have the revelation at the time. So they assumed that, you know, he was blaspheming. But because he was God in flesh, he was not blaspheming, and it was righteous for him to do that. So it's about catching the revelation of who he is, and then accepting the promises and accepting what he's doing on earth. And that applies to us even today. It's not just then that they need to realize who he is and accept what he's doing on earth. It's even today we need to have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, and then see what he's doing on earth, see what he's doing among us, see what he's done, see what he's going to do, and see what he's doing right now. And then he also, the distinction between, he makes between, you know, what's harder, to tell him to get up and walk, or to forgive his sins. And, you know, to forgive sins is a much more glorious thing to do, because, you know, you could get up and walk, and you can still, you know, end up and die and go to hell. But if your sins are forgiven, then you're cleansed and you're pure in the eyes of God. So that's a much more, it's more supernatural than, you know, someone who can't walk getting up and walking, or someone with the palsy getting up and walking. But sometimes we overlook those things because we can't outright see it with our eyes. You know, when we talk about miracles, sometimes we talk about, like, the Meshach, and Abednego, and the people who were in the furnace, and we think, oh, that was a miracle because, you know, they walked in the fire and they weren't burnt. Or, you know, this was a miracle because this person couldn't speak and then they could speak, or they couldn't walk and then they could walk. But even just believing and having a revelation of who Jesus Christ is a miracle, because not everyone is going to come to that revelation that you did. Not everyone is going to, you know, claim Jesus as their Lord. And the Bible says that you can't even call him Lord without it being influenced by the Holy Spirit. So having a revelation, understanding the word, that's a miracle in and of itself. And it's a blessing. And even if we can't see something on the outside that looks as miraculous as we might think, so something's happening on the inside, that is the miracle. And that's the miracle that matters, because that's what's going to get you, that's going to carry you throughout your whole life and into eternity. As opposed to maybe someone can't walk, they get up and walk, and then, you know, it just helps them for that life and for that time period. But on the next life, you know, getting up and walking from being a cripple is not going to help them. So it's good to keep in mind, you know, what's really important. Sometimes we lose sight of that because we're so focused on our eyes and what we see in the physical realm. There's a spiritual realm that's more real than this realm. So we need to focus on what's important. In verse 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. He arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meet in the house, and behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, so first he's calling Matthew and says, follow me. And Matthew has to leave everything he knows. In the same way, you know, when Abraham got that call from God, Abraham also got a call from God. And God said to follow him, and Abraham just went. And that's why Abraham is the father of our faith, as we refer to him as, because he didn't know anything, but he just knew he had something supernatural, something transcendent, something above him, something bigger than him, was speaking to him and moving him to go a certain way. And he answered that call, he followed that call, not knowing, you know, what would happen, but he just believed it and he went on. And he calls all of us to do the same way he also calls Matthew. He says, follow me, and Matthew has other responsibilities. He has a life, you know, all the disciples had lives, you know, before Jesus came. They were living, they had jobs, they had families, they had, you know, things they were doing. Maybe they were in some type of school or trade school or something like that, who knows. But they had things that they were doing. They had their 5-year plan. They were like, oh, I'm gonna do this, you know, the way all of us today think. Maybe you're thinking, oh, I'm gonna graduate high school, then maybe go to college, or maybe not go to college, go to a trade school, or whatever your plan is for the future. You have plans that you wanna hold to. And then a man comes out from somewhere and claims to be the Messiah, and he says, follow me. And now all your plans, you know, now it's up to you to decide if all those plans that you've made that you think are important, are you going to keep those, or are you going to follow this man who's claiming to be the Messiah? But once they got a revelation of who he was, they followed him. And that's a big part of it, because many people will, you know, read the Bible, and they'll know about the Bible, and they'll know what's right, and they know what it says, but not everyone follows him. Some of these people who believe, they truly believe that Jesus is the Messiah, they believe that Jesus is Lord, but they don't make him Lord of their lives. They just believe, they believe who he is, they believe the Bible, but they don't follow him, right? So there's people, even the rich young ruler had a lot of faith in Jesus as the Messiah, and he believed that Jesus had a supernatural power, and he believed in the authority of Christ. But when Jesus said, give up all your valuables, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't go through with it. So there's many people who will know, but they won't follow. So it's our duty as Christians to follow and to have faith in what God has for us, as opposed to our own plans, our own lives, what we want. Our calling is to follow. And as well as, you know, when Jesus is being criticized, you know, and Jesus even says, you know, you must, in order to reign with me, you must suffer to reign. You know, so in order to reign with me, you must suffer with me. So when Jesus says, follow me, and you know, I guess maybe probably as humans, the disciples were thinking, oh, this will be great because, you know, this is the Messiah, this is Jesus. And we think that way as Christians too, like, oh, this will be great because I'm a Christian and everything will be easy. You know, I'm with God. This is God in flesh. I mean, you know, this is going to be a cakewalk. And yet, you know, everywhere Jesus goes, he gets criticized. He gets, you know, shamed. People are always criticizing what he's doing, and especially the religious people of the world. And maybe the disciples are kind of confused by this, but that also is part of their faith and what they have to endure in order to reign, because they must suffer to reign. And even when, you know, Jesus is being criticized, he's now saying, you know, I'm here for the sick people, and they're criticizing him for who he's talking to, who he's hanging out with, who he's, you know, sitting at tables with. But Jesus doesn't have a proud spirit about him. He doesn't feel like he needs to elevate himself to be higher than anyone, because he's already there, you know. So now he's just here to serve and try and help the people who need help. And that's a part of being Christian and being willing to help people, is that you can't believe that you're better, that you're so much higher than the people you're trying to help, because then you can't truly help them the way you should. And, you know, as much as I'm sure the publicans and the scribes would have loved to see, you know, all these people repent, and it's not that, you know, that the Pharisees didn't want to see people come to God, but they thought themselves so much higher that they couldn't humble themselves to go down on someone's level and really talk to them about the things of God and perhaps actually sway them. But when Jesus is taking this approach of, you know, I'm not going to be so high and mighty with people, but I'm going to go to tables, I'm going to sit with people, I'm going to talk to people and truly teach them and show them the love of God and bring them in that way, you know, they judge him for it. And, you know, and the disciples have to take this in because, you know, maybe some of them maybe weren't fully devoted to their faith and maybe some were maybe more critical than others. But when Jesus comes his way and he's showing them, like, you know, we're here for the sick people, we're here to help the sick people, they also have to adapt this mind frame that, oh, we can't be ashamed to sit with these people because these are the people that need help. These are the people that we need to minister to and bring them to the gospel. And that also takes a modicum of faith to change how you view Christianity, to change how you view your faith, you know, and for to surrender your idea of what the faith is to God's idea of it. And we can do that every day by searching the scriptures and not just focusing on what we think, because we might have we might feel or we might believe a certain way, but we need to go back and check the Bible to see if it's right. And let's go to verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased in an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. Okay, so let's talk about the woman with the blood issues. Once again, we talked about this last week, but she set the conditions for her own faith. She said within herself that if she were to touch his garment, she would be made whole. And when Jesus talked to her, he says, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. So once again, he's not even taking credit for it. He's saying your faith made you whole. You believed. You believed that you would be whole. And so you were whole. And so we need to understand the power we have through faith. And even Jesus, when he talks about the mountain and how if you say to the mountain, move it, it'll move. So it's by you. It's by your faith. And I'll read I didn't get to it last week, but I'll read this quote by Brother Brown. From faith is the substance. And Brother Branham is talking to this woman who he sees her condition. He sees that she's not going to make it to the hospital. He knows the hospital is not very close. She's in a critical condition, and he's trying to talk to her and get her to believe and to receive her healing and her faith. So let's see. So there's a bracelet on the roof, and he's talking to her, and he says, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, I said, now the faith the size of a mustard seed would move that mountain. How much more smaller faith would you have to have just to move that bracelet? You see what I mean? Now, I've often wondered why he said mustard seed. I might drop this thought. Mustard seed is the smallest among all seed. That's right, but there isn't nothing will mix with mustard seed. It's all mustard. You can't mix it with kale or nothing, make it grow. It's all mustard. If you've got that much faith, all faith, not mixed up with something else, ask what you will, it'll be given to you. But it can't be wavering. It's got to be genuine mustard. And if you know what I'm speaking of, all right. I said, how much more would it take? Why, she said, looky here, I want to ask you something. He uses his faith to move the bracelet. And then when that happens, she says, I want to ask you something. She said, did God move that or did the devil move that? I said, neither one moved that. She said, then how in the world did it move? I said, I moved it. She said, well, you're 15 feet or better away from it. I said, no, it's my faith that moved it. See, if you ask anything and don't doubt it, see what I mean? Faith, but you're a free moral agent. You're a human being. You can resent in your heart and I couldn't touch you if you had to. Jesus could not do many mighty works because of why? Correctly, see how little people know about faith. It's amazing, friends, to find out how little people know about it. So he moves the bracelet for her, and she says, did God move it or did the devil move it? He says, I moved it, and it was by his faith that he moved it. So it's Jesus calls us to have faith and to go forth with his word and what the word says. And it says you ask anything and don't doubt it. But once again, it has to be consistent with God's word, because even because many people can believe many different things, but they can be also be wrong. Brother Branham says people can be sincere in their faith and their expression of faith, but they can be sincerely wrong as well. You know, because many, hope we're all adults here, but Santa Claus isn't real. And many kids believe in Santa Claus. They believe very much that, or they believe in different myths or things their parents tell them, the boogeyman, the chupacabra, whatever it is. There's different myths that people tell and that people believe in, but they can also be sincerely wrong in their beliefs. So even in our faith and our belief, it has to line up with what God's word said, because nothing that we can do can supersede God's word. So it has to line up with the Bible if you want to be in the will of God when we use our faith. Even, you know, when Moses had faith that the rock would give forth water, but he hid it instead of speaking to it. And, you know, and that wasn't the perfect will of God, but the water did come forth. So it was by faith, and that he believed, and he said God, he knew that God had told him that the water would come forth, and Moses just believed that the water would come forth. So even though he didn't do exactly what God told him to do, the water still came forth. But we want to be in the perfect will of God. We don't want to hit the rock. We don't want to, you know, get upset or just try and do things our way. We want to be in the right will of God. So we need to have faith. We need to believe. We need to understand that there is power in our faith. There's power in our belief. And that our faith can move mountains. Our faith can heal us. Our faith can make us whole. But we also want to be in the perfect will of God when we use this faith, when we use this power. Because power must be wielded correctly. If power is not wielded correctly, then it will be abused. And even Brother Branham says, you know, power without character is satanic. So if we're going to have the power of faith and understanding, you know, what we can do with our faith to move mountains and to do different things, we also need to have a godly character to go with it, or else it becomes, you know, witchcraft and different things like that, where there's people who can do supernatural things and they have faith, but they're completely out of the will of God and it's completely against what the word is saying, and those people will receive judgment for it. And all those, like the, I believe it was the Witch of Endor, when Saul wanted to talk to Samuel again, you know, the witch brought Samuel, you know, his spirit back to talk to Saul, and that was a witchcraft, but it did happen, you know. So faith is powerful, but we need to have a godly Christian character before we can wield the faith. So that's the main thing. Is it's not just enough to believe for these things and do these things, but we have to be in the perfect will of God when we do these things. And that's why we have the scriptures to go back to and read and study, so that we know what's the will of God and what's not, and make sure it's not contrary with the Bible and what it's saying. So we believe in the power that we have, but we also believe that we need to have the character and be in the will of God when we put these powers to work. And the thing about the woman's faith, specifically at the well, is that she had set her own conditions for her faith, because she said within herself that she would have touched the garment. And now the conditions of faith are simply to believe. That's why we sing that song, Only Believe. You know, and Jesus said, if you ask and you believe, it'll come to pass. But it's just to believe. The woman didn't necessarily have to touch his garment to be whole. She didn't necessarily have to do that to be whole, but that's what she said to herself, within herself. She said, if I touch his garment, I'll be whole. Now, she could have received that healing just where she was if she just believed that, you know, if she believed in the supernatural power of God and that God could heal her, she could have received the healing right where she was. And even the people who go to Brother Brandon's meetings, There's people who go and they receive a healing and then they lose it later because they lost their faith in the healing. And they believe what someone else said about them instead of what had actually happened to them. And then there was believers who went and they didn't get healed. So it's by faith, but it's also, it's just by faith. It's only believe. So, you know, sometimes people will give testimonies and they'll say, well, if God did it for them, he can do it for me. And those things help us and strengthen and encourage our faith. But if you have something you're believing for that you want done, you just believe it. You don't need to have, there's nowhere you need to go. There's nowhere you need, nothing you need to do, nothing you need to touch, nothing you need to feel. But just believe it and believe that God's word is true and that your faith can make you whole. And that can restore you. And as well, in verse 24, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad unto all the land. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed. Okay, let's go back on that. So, it's kind of like Sister Regina's testimony last week, you know. When she's saying thank you for praying, and the prayers of the saints are working, because when Jesus was in the room, and those people they laughed him to scorn. She says she's not dead; she's just sleeping, and they laughed him to scorn. But it was when they went away, and when they were put forth, as the scripture says, when they were put forth, and then he went in, he took her by the hand, and the maid arose. So just by removing the doubters from the room, the miracle was able to take place. And the same, you know, that's why it is important that we pray for each other and that we believe for each other and that we, you know, look out for each other, because our faith can move. If our faith can move mountains, if our faith can heal us, if our faith can make us whole, then our faith can also, you know, aid those of others and aid our brothers and sisters. And when we go and we pray, that's why that matters so much, because it's by our belief, it's by our faith that these things can take place. So that we apply our faith when someone's struggling. If someone asks for prayer, you know, if they're struggling, then we say, hey, Lord, you just take care of them. And I'm believing for the healing. I'm believing that they'll be made whole. And we all do that. And multiple people get together. If one person's mustard seed faith could move a mountain, then we all pull our faith together. You know, it's going to be much more powerful. It's like if we... It's like, I don't know if you heard that saying, many hands make light work, you know, and if one person's trying to move a couch, it's going to be pretty difficult, but if we get two people, it's going to be a lot easier. If we get four people, it'll be much easier. So the more people we get, you know, the more efficiently and the better our faith will work if we just put it together. You know, and the scripture says that one can take 1,000 and two can take 10,000. So just look out for your brothers and sisters. Make sure to always be praying for people. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know, you know, what trials they're facing, even if they look like they're fine, even if they're smiling all the time, even if they're very sociable. You know, many people struggle with many different things, you know, behind the scenes that we don't know about. So just pray for many different people and try to remember those, even sometimes that you don't see in a while. If someone just comes on your heart that you haven't been thinking about, and they just come to your mind, you know, just take a little time to pray for them and pray that God will touch them. And in verse 28, when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto him, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. And then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. So once again, the Pharisees are saying what he's doing, and they're saying that they're believing it's witchcraft, like, because they also know the power of faith, and that, you know, because the Pharisees aren't they can't deny the healings, you know, and they also believe in supernatural healings and supernatural events. So these people are being healed, these people are being made whole, and because they don't understand who he is and they're criticizing him, they claim it's witchcraft, because they know that faith has power, but they also are aware that faith can be used incorrectly for voodoo and those dark magic and those type of things, or that people would call it magic, but it's just it's people believing and having supernatural abilities, but it's based on how you're using it by your character. So they're also accusing him of witchcraft, but because they don't understand that he is God in flesh. And when Jesus talks to the man, he says, "Do you believe I can do this?" And it's the same today. If you're praying for something, Jesus is asking, "Do you believe I can do this?" Because he can't do it without you believing it. You have to believe. You have to also be there with him to be on the same page. He can't. He's not going to move without you, you know, also believing. And that's why only believe is so important. And that's why Brother Branham said the angel of the Lord loved that song. It's because believing is what brings healing forth. And so keep your faith strong. And understand that what you're given to you is, as Jesus said to the man, according to your faith. It is according to your faith what you receive, what you're healed from. You know, what takes place in your life, whether God is leading you in your life, whether God blesses you in your life. It is according to your faith that you'll be made whole. So God bless you. You're dismissed.